I'm Jake.
And I'm Stephanie.
And you're listening to The Fly Angle, the official RDU Airport podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back to episode 21 of The Fly Angle. How are you doing, Steph?
Good. It's good to be here again. It's always fun to get together and talk about the airport and all the new flights and other new things coming to RDU.
We've been pretty busy, huh?
A little bit busy. Episode. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we are adding flights left and right. It's, at this point, a few dozen in 2023.
Yeah,
combined.
We've got 65 destinations now, including 7 international. So that's more than we had prior to COVID. So yeah, good news around the airport.
Lots to report on this episode. If you didn't catch last episode with Steph and I and Kyle McLaughlin from mm-hmm. Clear, oh my gosh, that was a great chance to catch up with them. They're doing some cool stuff.
They really are, and people are excited about it. You know, that was one thing that people asked us about a lot prior to Clear coming here, is when we were going to get it. And every time I'm in Terminal 2, I see people signing up and scanning their eyes and scanning their fingerprints and getting ready to use that service. So people are really glad that it's here now.
Yeah, we had known people have been asking us on Twitter and Facebook for for a long time, and mm-hmm. to see those people finally say, yes, we got it. It's
well,
validating.
You hear great stories about it too, right? You know, people are talking about how much easier it was, especially at the airport they were traveling to and then coming back to RDU. So yeah, people have really enjoyed having that service here.
So we have a great interview today.
We do.
David Neeleman, the CEO of Breeze, is here with us in Raleigh today. He's the CEO and founder of Breeze Airways, RDU's newest airline. You might know David Neeleman previously as the founder and former CEO for JetBlue, mm-hmm. another RDU airline.
He's a serial entrepreneur.
Yeah. And they launched this year, right?
They sure did, just a couple of months ago, and they're up to 9 routes already. So they're one of the fastest growing airlines we have now. They're expanding all the time to new destinations.
Yeah, their two newest ones they just announced mm-hmm. are Tampa and Las Vegas. We're
two
excited about those.
Two popular places to go.
That's right. All right, let's try a little airmail. How about our question today comes from Carol A., who asked, if any airlines like Breeze or Southwest might consider adding nonstop service from Raleigh to Charleston, South Carolina. Oh, interesting. Being over 80, this would be so much easier to visit our grandchildren. Well, that's great, Carol. That's a good question. I love Charleston.
I love Charleston, too. It's an easy drive from here, though, so that has a big factor in whether or not you have an airline going there.
Depending on how urgently you need to get there.
That's right.
It's about a 5-hour drive.
Yeah.
Let's take a step back. Airline route planning is multifaceted. We've covered it on a few episodes mm-hmm. of this podcast before, but it's not just the city, right? It's the airline's available aircraft. It's whether that plane is the correct size and configuration for that route,
sure.
whether it's Raleigh to Charleston or Raleigh to Beijing or Raleigh to Mexico City, wherever it could be. It's whether they have the maintenance and the staff resources, right? And it's even like the airfield conditions, like the runway size, the overnight storage for aircraft. We're lucky to have two large commercial runways.
Mm-hmm.
We've just added more aircraft storage for overnight storage
this year. Yeah, we sure did. Just in May, we opened an overnight parking area for aircraft, which may sound like a simple thing to do, but it's really not like building a parking area for cars.
Right.
It's a little more complicated, but it lets planes rest overnight when they come in late and have to leave early in the morning, and cuts down on those lines waiting to get into the terminal first thing in the morning when we're so busy.
Right. And the challenge, though, is, so you talk about origin and destination. It's not just the origin, it's mm-hmm. also the destination airport. So for Charleston, you have to look at what are their configurations as well. And so kind of leading to that, the city matters too, right, Steph?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Charleston's a popular destination, but one of the things that they look at is how many passengers are actually flying there already. And so that's an important number.
Yeah, so you've heard us use a term called PDU, mm-hmm. and we're going to break that down for you if you haven't. That's called per day each way, passengers per day each way. Charleston's is pretty low mm-hmm. Because of probably
The proximity.
Yeah. So it's around 5. That doesn't mean that number would stay 5 if somebody added a route, if Breeze or Southwest added a route tomorrow. Have you ever seen that movie, Field of Dreams?
Oh, yeah, of course.
So where if you build it, they will come.
Yes.
Sometimes the route drives more PDU, right?
Right.
It's more per day each way. In this case, what I would say for Charleston specifically, Carol, is never say never. That Charleston, South Carolina, as you know, is an in-demand tourism destination. I love it. Steph loves
it. Beautiful.
We'll be on the first flight.
And now I want some she crab soup now that we're talking about it.
Many of RDU's new airline partners, including the ones you mentioned, they're interested in serving markets that mm-hmm. don't have existing connectivity. You're seeing us add a lot of dots on the map, at
That's
tens
right.
on the map. So the last thing I'll say is, route planning, it's not just science. It's an art form.
It is. It really is. It's a complicated thing.
Cool. Great question. Steph, let's get into some headlines. What do you say?
Well, let's talk about passenger traffic because Memorial Day was the unofficial kickoff to summer, and that's the busiest time of year for us. We actually have more people flying during those summer months than we do in that period between around Thanksgiving and the New Year's holidays. And we saw more than 1.3 million travelers fly through RDU in May of this year. So
wow.
That was a 20% increase over April. And remember, during April, we were still getting a little bit of a bump from spring break traffic. We had that kind of March-April time period where we had a lot of people flying out on spring break getaways. We had more than 172,000 passengers between Friday, May 26th and Monday, May 29th, and that was an increase of 23% over Memorial Day weekend last year and 7%, perhaps more importantly, over 2019. That was the last year that we experienced record-breaking traffic, so to be up 7% over that year is really significant.
That, to me, says, and you know, we've seen this for a number of months now coming into this summer.
Yeah, we keep breaking records month over month.
Yeah, I would call that persistent demand.
Absolutely.
And really, we're very close to matching or even exceeding those 2019 numbers. We use 2019 a lot at RDU, along with, you'll hear that at any airport really, because that was, for many airports, that was their last big calendar year before.
Year before things changed.
Before the pandemic.
That's right.
And for us specifically, 2019 was a superlative year.
14.2 million passengers.
So us to match or exceed those numbers now is, we're basically saying we're back right at record setting pace.
Well, it's so great. I know you probably feel this too when you go in the terminals and see so many people there and, you know, off on exciting little adventures. And I just love it. It's a nice change after the previous couple of years.
Yeah.
So with that growth comes new flights, of course. And we have several airlines that are plugging new routes, including two that our guest David Neelman announced. Breeze will add direct flights to Las Vegas and Tampa this fall. Florida, of course, always a popular destination, and Las Vegas, right up there too.
Yeah.
Everybody enjoys a weekend in Vegas.
Yeah.
So that's, they have 9 routes now, and they'll be expanding to 11 when they add Vegas and Tampa. We also have Avelo Airlines launching service to Rochester, New York, and to Memphis. That was on June 14th. And then also on Avelo, Manchester, New Hampshire, and Melbourne, Florida, in the Central Florida area. June 22nd and June 21st were the two dates for those. Frontier is also expanding. They're launching a flight to Chicago Midway and also to Houston's George Bush Intercontinental Airport.
Wow. That's a lot.
It's a mouthful. That's right.
We know that there's still some to come. We know that Frontier is going to Islip, New York in July. JetBlue is going to San Juan, Puerto Rico in July. JetBlue's also told us they're going to Orlando MCO
daily
in November.
Service. That's
daily
right.
Service MCO.
JetBlue thinks we need a vacation.
Yeah. I'll take
Orlando
it. Florida.
Orlando or San Juan, let's go.
Yeah.
My hometown or San Juan, I'll take it.
So we mentioned at the top of the episode that we've been adding a lot of flights. That number specifically is 37 new routes to 20 new destinations so far in calendar year 2023.
That's right. So they're expanding the routes they fly to cities we already serve, but also 20 new destinations. That's amazing.
Yeah.
It's just so many options for travelers, especially going into this busy summer season and everybody, you know, kind of getting away for summer break. And it's just an amazing number of new options for people when they travel out of RDU.
Yeah. And as you were reading through those different destinations, you know, we kind of said too that a lot of these newer entrants to RDU are trying to compete in markets that aren't currently served. So you heard names like Melbourne, Florida, and you know, Memphis, Manchester, New Hampshire.
Yep.
Yeah, it's great to get connectivity to those parts of the country.
That's right.
Sometimes they're secondary markets to major metros.
That's right.
You know, like Manchester serves Boston, obviously. Mm-hmm. But there are people in Manchester and people in New England who are immediately benefiting from that service and connectivity to here.
Absolutely.
I'm thinking a lot of corporate traffic in particular is going to love that one. Yeah, really exciting time, huh?
It is. And, you know, Avelo tends to fly to those other airports a lot. So, ports, you mentioned Manchester, New Hampshire, which is a gateway to New England. They also go to Tweed in Connecticut, which is kind of a gateway to the New York metro area, which is still one of our most, if not the most, heavily traveled destinations. So,
yeah, I think that was their first,
options.
That was their debut flight.
That was their debut flight, and they're growing fast too, just like Breeze. So finally, get ready to notice some new amenities around the airport the next time you fly. We're going to welcome more than a dozen new dining options over the next year plus, and that begins a little later this summer as we welcome two BU Cafe locations in Terminals 1 and 2. And of course, if you don't know, that's the popular coffee shop out of Durham. We're getting a lot of locally based options here soon.
Yeah, and you actually can have BU Cafe coffee today at RDU.
Yeah, at
if you Reef. Go to Get Reef Virtual Food Hall in Terminal 2, their coffee's awesome. I love it. I'm a coffee fiend, and I'm a big fan.
I am not a coffee drinker, but I have heard that from many, many people.
This is going to be more than 10 new restaurants and bars actively going into construction over the next year plus. Mm-hmm. We're talking about local choices from name brand culinary icons of the Triangle, something for everyone from gourmet to grab and go. We're trying to appeal to a broad swath of flyers, but also we want to redefine what you expect of airport food.
Well, and it's going to be incredible. It's going to be a little bit of a pause while we're in construction. But when we launch, we're going to have concepts from Scott Crawford, the famed chef out of Raleigh, from Oscar Diaz
in
Durham.
Huge Scott Crawford fan.
So,
Oscar Diaz
Hard
fan.
Not to be. That's right.
Yeah, the foodie in me is extremely excited.
Oh, it's going to, I mean, it's really going to be a destination. It's not going to be, you know, in addition to the grab and go, you're really going to have some places where you can kind of hunker down and have a great meal. So that's going to be really exciting.
All right, our guest for today's episode is an aviation icon. He started 5 airlines, including JetBlue. Now, his newest airline, Breeze, is making waves at RDU and around the country. David Neelman, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me. It's a real honor to be here in Raleigh-Durham.
Well, we're glad to have you here. And, you know, you must have a real passion for aviation, considering how you've spent your career. What inspired that in you? How did that get started?
You know, I don't know. I mean, it's well publicized that I have attention deficit disorder. And people who have that are distracted and, you know, maybe don't do as well in school. But when they find an area of hyper-focus, they become world experts in it. And so as a college kid, I was just infatuated with Southwest Airlines and what they were doing and looked at an industry other than Southwest at that time that was really in need of innovation. And I was kind of an innovator, even in my early 20s. So it just kind of fit with me, and I haven't been able to get rid of it ever since.
That's great. So Breeze, we mentioned earlier, Breeze is your 5th airline launch. However, some people might say it was pretty bold to launch a new airline just as the COVID-19 pandemic was really emerging. Tell us about the inspiration for starting Breeze. What were those early days like?
Well, you know, I started, my first airline was Morse Air, which I sold to Southwest. You know, I patterned it so much after them that Herb came knocking and said, you know, we'll buy you. And then I had a 5-year non-compete, so I went up to Canada and helped found WestJet Airlines, which is a really successful Canadian airline that still is doing great today. And then it was off, since my non-compete was up, it was off to JetBlue, and, you know, founded that and had a great experience in New York and, you know, my family. And then when I kind of unexpectedly, you know, left JetBlue, wasn't really something I wanted, but I was there as the chairman, kind of bored. And since I was born in Brazil, I wanted to always do something in Brazil to help those people down there. So went down and started an amazing airline in Brazil called Azul. It's the largest today airline in Brazil, right, and the 4th largest domestic travel market in the world. And then as I kind of pivoted back to the United States after spending, you know, over 10 years in Brazil, I thought, you know, things were changing in the United States travel market. Planes were getting bigger. They were being more hub focused. There were a lot of cities that were losing air service. You know, there's been 123 cities that have lost more than 25% of their air service over the last 10 years. About 75% of the cities have lost air service. There's about 400,000 less flights in the United States than there used to be. As airplanes have gotten bigger through consolidation,
right,
forcing people through hubs. And so I just saw a great opportunity to fly people between cities that don't have nonstop service. And so we started with this mantra, in addition to being seriously nice, that we could get you there twice as fast for half the price. And that's kind of, and even though, you know, the routes that, you know, some routes we have competition on, but about 90% of our routes, we have no nonstop competition.
I did notice that it's interesting to see it at maybe a way that you guys have already distinguished yourselves, is that you're not afraid to go and compete on routes that RDU already had other airlines serving. I'm thinking of the two newest, really, really bold. I mean, so it's great to see that. And I know that the flyers have really responded well to it so far already.
Well, in markets like Tampa and Las Vegas that we're announcing today, they do have competition, but we're flying on the peak days. You know, we're flying Thursdays and Sunday, and then we have a Tuesday to kind of balance it off. But flying on the peak days, usually you can get a decent fare if you're not flying a peak time of year or a peak day. But when you start paying $1,000 for a ticket, and we can get you there, you know, same time and seriously nice for half that or less, then, you know, those are opportunities. But like I said, most of our opportunities are not those. Those are, you know, we serve, you know, these will be our 10th and 11th city out of Raleigh-Durham Airport. And, you know, most of those other routes, we don't have nonstop competition on.
David, I read a great quote from you recently. You said, "When I started JetBlue, it was a customer service company that just happened to fly airplanes. Breeze is a technology company that just happens to fly airplanes." Can you tell us what that means to you? And also, for people who haven't flown Breeze, since you've just been here a few short months, what can they expect from you?
Well, you know, a little known fact about my past is that my first airline, Morris Air, we invented e-ticket travel. There was no e-ticket travel in the world when we started offering confirmation numbers only to come fly. And in order to do that, you had to build a relational database. And so we parlayed that knowledge after Southwest Airlines bought us to a reservation system that today serves 65 airlines in the world, is a company that was eventually sold to Amadeus for $1 billion. And so along with my partner, who's still the CEO of that company, it's called Navitaire. It's used by Frontier and Spirit and Allegiant, and all these guys use the system. But it allows us to do things. So we relocated our headquarters right across the parking lot from the company I founded, so we could be really close to them. So we could quickly build an app, so we could quickly do those things. You know, before, when I started JetBlue, we didn't have the internet. We didn't have those, all of the apps. And we did have kiosks. We invented kiosks at that time. But people really, we said, look, we want to give you your boarding pass with a smile. And now today, people's like, I don't want a boarding pass. I don't care if you smile. I just want to be able to make my own reservation. I want to be able to go to the airport and tag my own bag and stick it on the carousel. I want to scan myself on the airplane. And I want to have as little interaction as we possibly can, you know, with humans. So you need technology to make that happen. And so That's kind of our goal, is to make it as seamless as possible. And then if you have to talk to one of our people, you don't call us, you just send us a message. And if you get really frustrated, we'll call you. But we can resolve issues in less than 10 minutes. And So it's a much better way to go than sitting on terminal hold on a res center.
So changing gears a little bit, David, you know, you're here with us in Raleigh today. Curious about your first impressions of this market and what motivated Breeze to consider entering RDU.
Well, this is a great market, and it's so vibrant and it has so much opportunity. And the routes that we announced are just doing really well, really great. They're above our expectations. I always tell cities, if you know how we're doing, you just see if we're adding cities. We started in Charleston. And it was interesting, this was 2 years ago in Charleston, South Carolina. We didn't get approval for the FAA until May, and we started flying 2 weeks later. And I said, there's a lot of people coming to Charleston this summer. They have no idea they're coming because the fares were so low. And it ended up being their busiest July in the history of the airport, even pre-COVID. So, you know, now today we have 21 cities that we serve out of there. And these will be our 10th and 11th cities. So just starting in February and having already 11 cities out of here just shows what a strong demand there is out of here. And there's just really an appetite for our service of getting you there twice as fast for half the price. That's kind of our goal. Sometimes it's higher than that. But, it's a great market. It's dynamic. And we just think there's a ton of opportunity here.
What do you look for when you're going to a market like RDU? Are there particular characteristics? I know leisure travel, of course, is really fueling the recovery right now. What are you trying to see when you consider where to go next?
Well, you know, the DOT has a database where they have all of the, everyone has to report, you know, where people flew and what they paid. So we can take a look at that. And then we can see how stimulatable, I don't know if that's even a word, but how we can stimulate a market. Because most of our customers are not taken from other airlines, you know, probably 80 to 90% are generated. You know, the couch is a big competitor of ours, where people just sit on the couch, or maybe the car. And we try to fly to destinations where it's more than a 7-hour drive. And so it's, you know, kind of inconvenient to do that. And then we pick these destinations that people may want to go to that thought about going, but just was too expensive or too inconvenient. So it's kind of some science that goes into it, but a lot of gut as well. Mm. And we get in there and we can tell usually pretty quickly if it's a win or not.
Gut and technology. That's a good combination.
Yes. With a side of customer service.
That's right.
A smile. If you want the smile at the kiosk, yeah. You could still get
yes,
it.
Yes, yes.
What is that experience on Breeze like? Because we're going into our busiest season now. You've just been around for a couple of months. You know, you're probably going to have a lot of people trying it out for the first time. What do you think they'll see?
Well, our tagline is seriously nice, mm-hmm. and we're branding this new thing called an NLCC. It's a nice low-cost carrier.
That's right.
And so it's a... That's what we want you to fill in. And what we teach, you know, our in-flight crew and our pilots and the people that you'll interface with, you know, from our company, that we can't control everything. Sometimes there are things beyond our control that may cause a delay or whatever. But we can't control how we treat people and how we, our attitudes. And so, you know, I think you'll find, you know, our people to be really focused on our customers and really welcoming and being a great flight experience. So, you know, our pilots are all owners of the company, so they're very focused on getting the operation on time and pitching in and doing whatever possible to make sure that everything runs smoothly.
All right, so last question for you. And I always like to try to I always joke about the 30,000 foot view here, but as we see more flyers coming back to RDU this summer and other airports as well, 2023 seems to spell forward motion for the airline industry as a whole. Hopefully, not just Breeze, but really, you know, we're seeing the tide lift all boats. With demand surging, what should people expect to see in the next couple of years from aviation or even beyond? And obviously, through the lens of Breeze, but you have such a, you know, insight on the entire field.
You know, I think it's obviously going to keep growing, but I think it's going to grow in areas where you have bigger population centers. And you know, if air traffic wasn't down, you know, from 2019 to 2022, we're down about 140 million passengers. And if that wasn't the case, then Breeze wouldn't exist. If we hadn't seen this decline of flights in the U.S. by about 400,000, there wouldn't be an opportunity. So, you know, I think the incumbent airlines will continue to do what they do, which they provide great service and you know, at amazing fares. But I think, you know, kind of rising pilot salaries and scarcity of pilots will make the options less and less for people who want to fly, because, you know, the economic model for the regional airlines has changed dramatically. And so I think we'll see a lot less regional flights and more. And we're happy to be kind of in that middle space where we can offer a plane that holds 137 people instead of one that holds 74 people or one that holds 180 people. We're kind of right in the middle, so we can do things that other airlines can't do. And so we think we're really excited about our opportunity.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much for being here with us today. It's been so interesting to talk to you.
Well, thank you. It's been an honor.
That was such an interesting interview with David Neeleman. I love to talk to somebody who's a serial entrepreneur, and he certainly has the airline bug. What did you think?
Yeah, when you think about aviation and people who are really creating change, I mean, the list has to start with him either at the top or right there. Mm-hmm. You know, I've flown JetBlue. I haven't had a chance to hop on a Breeze flight yet, but everything I hear from what he's doing at Breeze just makes me want to try it more and more. Really impressive guy, obviously. Like you mentioned, serial entrepreneur, but more importantly to me is that he's really has a bead on where the industry is going. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, from the airport perspective, just so cool to see that change happening in real time.
It's interesting to hear him talk about some of the data behind the decisions they make in terms of the planes they fly and where people are going, and just to kind of get a view into that world of how they make those kinds of decisions. It's always so fascinating.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, we're biased as RDU fans as well as employees, but, you know, their continued investment in this market mm-hmm. really just underscores how interesting that data is. Not to mention, they you know, they've just announced that they're adding Fort Myers, so that makes Fort Myers, Florida makes their 12th route nonstop from RDU.
And they've only been here a few months.
Right, that's quite the investment. Lots more on the horizon. We didn't even mention it early in the episode, but some big news, speaking of air service. Air France will be absorbing the Paris nonstop service at RDU starting October 30th.
That's right. They'll be flying that route instead of Delta. And so we'll continue to have that great signature service to Paris that people have come to love so much since it was launched. But they'll have an Air France ticket now, and you'll see Air France signs around the airport for the first time. They'll be our 15th airline.
Yeah, we've had a lot of questions about this already. As you probably know, Delta has been flying nonstop to Paris, CDG, for almost 10 years now, it feels like. They have a transatlantic code share, as you may know, with Air France. And so what will happen is on October 30th, Delta's service ceases and Air France's begins. So they won't be flying concurrently. They will,
that's right.
One will stop and one will begin. But you can continue to book those flights through Air France directly, through Delta directly because of the code share. So it's a win-win for everybody.
It'll be seamless for the traveler. Go online, book your ticket, fly on Air France. You'll love it. So definitely an exciting thing, especially with that 787 Dreamliner coming in. That's going to be, I have stood on the tarmac when the current aircraft that flies the Paris route has come in, and it is monstrous. So I can't even imagine what that 787 is going to look like.
Yeah, the 76 that Delta flies, you know, if you're familiar with RDU, obviously many of the listeners here are, and if you're a plane spotter, you probably already know some of this, but the 767 that Delta flies to CDG is the second largest aircraft today that flies through RDU on a daily or near daily basis, the largest being the 777 that American flies to London. Mm-hmm. The 787 Dreamliner really expands on that 767. So as far as I'm aware, we've never had 787 Dreamliner in regular service here. So I am super excited for that. I think the business community is going to absolutely love that aircraft. The business class on that plane is really special.
Well, and it has more seats than the aircraft they were previously flying, and more business, as you mentioned, business class and premium economy class. So a little more comfortable, too, if you want to get one of those seats up towards the front of the plane.
Count me in. So that's it for now. We're going to sign off. But before we go, just be sure, just a couple of quick things we'll ask of you. If you will, follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and now Threads. RDU is on Threads at FlyRDU. And at RDU Airport on all the other ones. But we'd love to be your friend on there.
Thanks for listening, and we'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
See you soon.